beer, sports, and summer. This is the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Summer Series presented by Buffalo Wild Wings in Ankeny and Ames. Now, here are your two Asian Zing loving hosts, Chris Williams and Brent Bloom.
Hey guys, welcome back to another Summer Series podcast here presented by Buffalo Wild Wings up there in Ames and always my home base in Ankeny. The Summer Series continues on. We've hashed out some pretty in-depth topics in Iowa State athletics, a lot of them historical, and we'll continue to do that here throughout the rest of the summer, courtesy of Buffalo Wild Wings up there in Ames and Ankeny, of course. But today, we look to the future. Hello, Brent Bloom. How are you?
Great, Dave. We're winding down the... Well, we got a couple more of these left.
Two more.
But that means the summer's ending, which is strange.
Yeah.
It's gone...
Fall camp right around the corner.
That's nuts. Like, you were just at Big 12 Media Days.
Yep.
It's silly. Summer used to take forever, and now it takes like a week.
Well, especially when you have Hoiberg watch.
That's probably what... That's why it went fast.
Yeah.
Because that went all the way into June.
Yeah.
So it wasn't much of a summer.
No, I feel like we didn't have a summer.
No.
That's okay, though. The best time of the year is approaching. College football, in my opinion, I love it.
Great.
College
Fantastic.
Basketball is my favorite sport, but I love college football season, just everything that goes around the event of a college football game.
There's so much more buildup and anticipation for football than basketball. Because there's so many basketball games where football, you get 12 of them and you have to enjoy them because there's only so many.
And you have all these months ahead of time. Excuse me. My beer of choice tonight is we're very open when we do the Buffalo Wild Wings presented Summer Series podcast that Bloom and I are sitting at my bar in my basement drinking beer, talking clones, and we're glad that you are joining us. Yeah. My beer of choice is the Samuel Adams Summer Ale. What are you drinking,
Brent? I've got one of my favorites, the New Belgium Ranger. It's a solid IPA.
That is a solid. That's it's one of the favorite beers of the Godfather, John Walters, as well.
It's in my Mount Rushmore of beers.
Seriously?
Probably.
Wow. Yeah. I love all Sam Adams. To me, the Summer Ale is the worst of
theirs.
Yeah,
I'm not big on the summer. I like the Oktoberfest.
Yeah, that's... The winter lager is my favorite.
Is it?
I love their... I think that would be on my Mount Rushmore beers.
And for those wondering, I live a block from C-Dub, so I'll be walking home.
Yeah, we do it responsibly,
yes,
just like our
course.
Friends at Buffalo Wild Wings in Ankeny and Ames. Today's topic is... It's a rather loose topic, but it's still fairly specific. The expectations. What should our expectations be for Iowa State athletics from now until, let's say, the year 2020, over the next 5 years? And I think we'd be remiss not to start with the lingering realignment topic.
Why won't that go away? I don't blame you, but it's annoying.
Well, can't blame me. You got to blame the administrators who keep talking about it.
Like
David Boren.
The article comes out from the Omaha World Herald this week, and I read it and was like, okay, that's cute, but that's not... Was any of that news?
No.
Of course, the ADs in the Big 12 were looking at every conceivable landing point.
Did you read my column on it?
I think so.
Yeah, I mean, that's essentially what I spent 1,000 words
spelling
that out.
No, I didn't read it. I'm sorry.
You didn't?
But we agree.
Oh, okay, yeah, you agree with me. Yeah, that's exactly what I wrote.
I don't know. I wish the Big 12 were stable, but
it's
I
not.
Don't...
It's not stable. Sorry.
What will make it, though?
Well, I agree with that, but it's not stable. I mean, Bob Boolsby said it without saying it in Dallas last week when he goes on the expansion deal. You know, we've got some schools who are really in favor of it. We've got some who are really against it. And then we've got, I think the direct quote was 4 or 5 in the middle who could go either way. So what you're telling us, Bob, is that it is a divisive league.
Sure.
You know, and figure it out. Like,
I just don't know if the Big 12 can make a move one way or another until they know what the rest of this new look Power 5 autonomy looks like with the, you know, the new cost of living expenses.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
the players are going, over time, the players are going to get more and more.
Yes.
And we could, that's another conversation if they should or not.
But I think what you're, I don't know if you're heading this way, but it's a good place for me to go to my point of there's so much crap going on with just the business of college athletics.
The legal part.
Yeah, that were, and I think to give him credit, I think Chip Brown pointed this out recently as well. I don't want to steal his opinion, but I wholeheartedly agree with it that all this stuff going on, I just don't know if poaching other schools, like these schools are working together right now is the point.
Sure.
They're not,
sure.
They don't need to be working against each other at this point in time.
You don't want to alienate the ACC or whatever, because they're a big group. They're a big group, and I don't, but it's interesting. 5 years from now, where will we be? Because
yeah.
what was 5 years ago this summer when all the
yeah.
this stuff went down the first go around.
So, okay. So let's start right there. Will Iowa State be in the Big 12, the current Big 12 as it sits right now in 5 years?
Yes.
You don't think they expand?
No.
Okay.
I don't. I think as time goes on, I mean, the qualifier being if there's continued disaster in December with the championship game.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
If that happens for two more years in a row and it's Texas or Oklahoma on the outside rather than Baylor or TCU,
yeah.
that changes pretty quickly.
I will go with the Big 12 will expand.
I just
this is not what I hope happens because I'm with you. I like the current setup.
I know,
but what I understood, and this was just my it's just how I felt when I was watching Bob Woolsey talk about a championship game. I think that's inevitable.
But
the fact that here, let me finish.
Okay.
The fact that he went as specific as he did with dollar figures, what that could bring to the league.
Sure.
It's not. Now, I get it. Within like a year, they're going to be able to have a championship game without expansion. I fully understand that. But I think in this case, the squeaky wheel will get the grease. That being Oklahoma, now that there is enough of this Big Ten threat that is public. Now, Brent, I just listened to a podcast from Fox on my way home from KXNO today on how the Big Ten could destroy the Big 12. Like, I think that I don't think Texas is going to bully, or I don't think Oklahoma is going to bully Texas, but I think that there are enough people who are in Oklahoma's corner where I think eventually they probably will expand at some point.
Correct me if I'm wrong, though, but they have to bring Oklahoma State with them.
That is not true.
Good. How would that go over?
Just saying,
in the state of Oklahoma.
It's not true anymore.
If the folks at Stillwater get left out.
Yeah, it's not true anymore.
Interesting.
At one point, and actually I had a very long conversation with one of the top two or three sources I have on realignment
yep.
earlier in the week, and I asked that specific question, and the source was adamant that that's no longer relevant, that these schools cannot be separated. Kansas can go opposite of, and this source went as far to tell me too. So had the Big 12 not stuck together, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was that Big 12 / Big East combination,
that combo package.
The Big East didn't want Baylor. They were going to take the Forgotten Five was actually four, and Baylor was going to be the one screwed. And if you look at how it is now, like how crazy is that?
Well, but at the time they were a non-entity.
Yeah, and Waco was a disaster. You know what I mean? They had the crappy stadium.
They did.
Nobody knew Art Briles. Like, very different times.
They were building, but it wasn't.
And I think, too, like with this whole realignment deal, like all this ESPN stuff coming out is fascinating about the cord cutting and the way everything is changing. I think that these programs, like these schools, like are actually going to have to stand up for what they actually are, and it's not all going to be about television eyeballs going
no,
forward.
No, it's not. And that's where I'm going. I mean, if you look at, and I'm kind of a futuristic weirdo when it comes to media stuff.
No, but you are with everything, Brent. If it comes to drafting our fantasy baseball team.
I love young guys.
Yeah, you do.
Okay, that sounds weird. no, but it's... I think with the way the TV's going, I'll be honest, I don't have cable right now. And I am probably a high degree of sports fan, but I have found a way through apps and local TV to get everything I need. You can do it. And I'm not smart, and so there's other people who figured this out too. And I just don't see the whole TV eyeball thing mattering. Now there is the deal with these conferences now will have their own apps, and that's how it's going to go. Or, you know, the Big 12 will have an app and everything will go through that. And or ESPN will have an app and have this. Cause so, there's still there. It's just, it's hard for me to think that if the Big Ten expands to, what are they now, 14 teams?
Correct.
If they go to 16, how is that putting them in an advantage at all when it comes to the college football playoff or anything else? And I don't think bigger is better when we're talking about these. Now if everybody goes to 4 16s, then yeah, then you'd like your pick of people to expand to. But I don't see that happening. I almost think we're headed, if it gets there, where conference almost want to downsize a little bit, because we'll have a better chance in smaller conferences to get teams in. We'll I don't see. Know. That, no, so, I don't. That said, they're not going to downsize. But it is.
Yeah, I know. I get it.
I don't think the Big 12 will change come 2020.
Okay, I think that they add two. I don't know who. That maybe even add four. I think at some point there is expansion in the Big 12 within its current league now.
And
in the next 5 years,
I think in the next 5 years, though, we will add four teams to the playoff. Well, I guess when is that contract up? Maybe it is 2021. It'll be talked about by then.
Okay.
So that could change factors.
But neither one of us predicting the implosion of the
Big 12. I don't think it implodes. I really don't. And I think there's a better chance of the NCAA, something happening from a legal standpoint where they have to reclassify, than the Big 12 disbanding.
I would agree with that as well. Okay, so let's go on the field then. Now that we have it, we've got Iowa State in the Big 12.
They're in the Big 12.
You want to start with football or basketball? Football. Football season is just around the corner.
5 weeks away?
Iowa State's head coach in 2020. Is it Paul Rhodes?
Odds are, based on percentages, no. His contract does run through 2021.
Correct. That sounds right. Yeah.
However, in college football anymore, if he gets to 2020, that would be 11 years at Iowa State. And that is a long, long time in the modern era of college football. I'm not saying it's going to happen soon, but I just don't know. I don't see him being here in 2020 one way or another.
I kind of feel like even if Paul gets things turned around, let's be optimistic. Let's say they go to a bowl this year.
Sure.
And maybe they go to a bowl next year.
Yep.
I feel like he's more apt to leave now than he would have back when things were rolling for him, having seen what's happened the last 2 years.
This gets forgotten, and you were, I remember you texting me from a wedding.
Yes, I remember this wedding.
In 2011?
Yeah.
2011?
Was it after the Pinstripe Bowl?
It's before, wasn't it? I don't remember. Yeah, sometime in 2011.
It was a Christmas wedding in Kansas City, yeah. I was at, yeah.
The Wisconsin job came open.
Yeah. And that was when they hired Gary Anderson.
When they hired Gary Anderson. Maybe that was 12.
Well, I don't know when it was, but I know that Gary Anderson was not their A, B, C, or D choice.
Paul was on the mix.
Correct.
And that was part of the reason why Iowa State gave him the current extension.
And it was not I'll never forget that. I was at that wedding on a Saturday night. It was right before Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Got back that Sunday when I was told by a source on Sunday morning that he has a contract Wisconsin if he wants it. And that night, Iowa State sent out the release and had a media conference giving Paul Rhodes a new contract. Now, I don't know for a fact. I don't know for a fact that Wisconsin offered him that job, but sure. I know it was a very serious conversation.
It was. Hold on, I'm looking up Gary Anderson. I think there was 2012. think it was 2012.
That would make sense after his...
Yeah, my years. As you get older, like, I always laughed at people when they would tell stories when I was, like, 20. Like, how do you not know? Like, years are pretty easy to tell, but no, it was 2012 is when that happened. But no, I mean,
but my point is, after the last 2 years, I feel like even if Rhodes gets things turned around,
yeah,
to be here 5 years from now, if I'm him, like, I would leave, honestly. Like, depending on your offer.
Sure.
This is a really hard place to win at consistently, and you just don't see that longevity, for one. Two, you just don't really see it at a school like Iowa State, especially,
yeah,
anymore.
And I mean, McCarney was here for
different time,
but that was 11 years.
Yeah. So, and it becomes, did you read Rick Brown's piece on Kirk Ferentz in Sunday's Des Moines Register?
I did.
And Kirk Ferentz talks about it, and he's exactly right. Like, the longer you stay, there's that fatigue factor where
absolutely
people will get, and we're already experiencing that with Rhodes, and that has not, that would have been happening. If Iowa State had gone 6-6 the last 2 years, there would be a portion of the fan base,
sure,
who's pissed that he's not going 8-4, that, yep, they're not growing.
Well, and attention spans are shorter and all that jazz. Everyone talks about it. So,
yeah.
In order to reinvent yourself, sometimes you have to make a change for all parties. I don't know in any college athletics if it's realistic to have a Bill Snyder or a Hayden Fry anymore, or those types, where they're there for Joe Paterno, you know, prior to. It just doesn't happen. There's so much I need something now different. That's part of where we're going. And 5 years from now, I can't say 100% Paul Rhodes is going to be the coach. I think percentages say, based on the tenures of everybody else in college football these days, he won't be.
I would heavily answer that I don't think he will be, for one reason or another.
And we're not saying right now that we want Paul Rhodes.
I want him to be the guy for the next 10 years. I love the man.
I think he's
outstanding.
I mean, I wrote last fall during the you know, when people were calling for his head, I said, no, I think you got to stick with him. And I think Iowa State made the right call. And I honestly, 5 weeks before the year, I think we could be in for a nice little bounce back season. Is that a bowl game? I don't know yet. But you got to stick it out here and see with what they've brought in JUCO wise, see how it goes. But to say that he's going to be here 5 years from now, no. I mean, I think you have to bet the other direction.
So we've got massive facilities improvements in the football facility. When it comes to the football facility itself, you've got the new stadium. This podcast here, presented by Buffalo Wild Wings and Ankeny and Ames, of course, is about expectations.
Right. And this is the toughest question in Cyclone Athletics right now.
I mean, what should we expect? I mean, all these new fancy facilities, what should the expectation of Iowa State football be year in, year out over the next 5 years?
Do you want to answer that? Because here's the problem. If you can either say, you can say what the expectations are in the past, which is arguably the whole peak and valley thing. Where
if you're doing that, Paul Rhodes has done a damn good job.
He's done a good job.
If it's all based on the past at Iowa State.
The problem is, if you say that, if you say the goal is, make a bowl game twice every 4 years, which historically in Iowa State would be pretty good.
Mm-hmm. We'd all take that.
But you can't say that in today's environment, because that's not good enough. It's not good enough. It might be realistic. It's still not good enough. And this is the dilemma of an Iowa State fan. Where's the line between realistic and crazy? And you can have realistic expectations, but can those advance the program? Can that take the next step? You know, the mythical next step we've been talking about since McCarney left. What does that mean when Iowa State's never done it before? It's so hard, because if you're a realist and you say, oh, you know, 6 wins, that's pretty good, then you're a loser. But if you say, no, 9-10 wins, then you're kind of, you're crazy. So where is it? Somewhere in the middle. I don't know. And I think it's the biggest dilemma for an Iowa State football fan is, what is good enough for you?
I think the first time I ever interviewed Jamie Pollard, I was in college. And so it would have been his first or second year,
mm-hmm,
at Iowa State. And I asked him, Well, now looking back, it was probably a foolish question, but I think a question that a young person thinks like, okay? I didn't have the perspective that when I was 21 or whatever that I do now.
And I would say it's got a lot of new fans, too, which plays into this.
Correct. So I think that, that a lot of people out there can relate to this. And I said, you know, what do you guys have to do to, don't laugh, but to be in the conversation for national championships? And he was really respectful towards me, but he goes, you know, in basketball, he goes, you can have one or two players and, you know, and anything can happen in an NCAA tournament. Mm-hmm. And look, you know, Butler's got a shot to win a national title.
So years in a row.
Basketball, I mean, you're not that far off. Football, he gave me the Wisconsin model, where when he was in, naturally, that's where he cut his teeth in the business, where it started off, they were going to bowl games. You know, getting six wins, going to bowl games. And then you had to get to the point where you were in a four-year span, you're going to bowl game every year.
Mm-hmm.
But one of those years, you'd peak and go to eight wins. And then, you know, it was normal for them to win eight games. And then every year, every couple of years, you'd peak and get to 10 or 11 wins. So to me, if I were to be asked, what should Iowa State's fan expectations be going forward over the next 5 years, it should be a bowl game in three out of the 5 years.
Okay.
The reason I say that is I think that you're walking a fine line between being a realist, which I like to think that we are, being a realist and being the loser that you talked about.
Yes.
Because if you're a fan and you're saying, all right, athletic department, we're going to accept going to one bowl game in 5 years or two bowl games in 5 years. What kind of a message are you sending to the people who are running your athletic department? You need to three bowl games in 5 years with the way the Big 12 is currently set up. The nine league games would be very good for Iowa State. And if you can develop that level of consistency, no matter who the coach is, I think you're setting yourself up better for those peak years that we all dream of.
And you know, there are times as an Iowa State football fan, and I've been one for 30 years, where you go, this
poor bastard.
I know. This is kind of dumb. Like, what are we doing here? Like, we're never going to do it. What's the point? But then there's little stretches where you get the glimmer of, well, maybe. You know, if you can get the right guy, if you can get a Seneca Wallace, if you can get the schedule to break in your favor, if you can do what K-State did. And it's the example we always come back to.
Mm-hmm.
What Bill Snyder did, not once but twice. Remember, 2-3 years ago when they had Colin Klein. I mean, they were coming off Ron Prince, who was a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
But he built them back up in Manhattan, Kansas.
Ron Prince is a cuss word around there.
And Iowa State's not Indiana. Okay, they're not Wake Forest. There is fan support.
Yeah,
I've been to every single stadium in the Big 12, and I encourage you guys to go, if you can, to some of these. Like, you've been to Lawrence, Kansas.
Yes.
Iowa State's not Kansas, all right? Like, it's not. There's support there that isn't at other places. And so if the ball does get rolling and somehow they get a break, if they can find a talent somewhere that it's not going to be easy. They're not going to get a five-star guy. I mean, they got an Alan Lazard. Okay, that was a
fluke.
But it needs to – something fluky needs to happen where they get three or four of those guys that are good NFL-type players on the same team. I hate to do it, but I think you got to look at a model of what Iowa did in the early 2000s. This is people have asked me, what is it going to take for Iowa State to get, you know, to a 9-10 win season? You got to look at what Iowa did in like 2001-02. And that's they got way lucky with guys like Robert Gallery and Chad Greenway and I guess that was
Bob
Greenway
Sanders.
Is 05, but Bob Sanders, under-recruited guys that play above their head and then turn themselves into something. And you got to get them all on the same team. And Dallas Clark. But they can do it. I mean, it's tough in the Big 12, but Iowa State is not Northwestern. Okay, they're not these bottom of the conferences that don't get any fan support. They have fan support. The facilities are fine. If you go around the Big 12, Iowa State's facilities are fine. They can measure up to a lot of them. It's just the lacking piece has always been getting substantial talent on the same team at the same time. They've gotten guys here and there, but never enough to sustain depth. And whether it's player development or what, they've got to get a 1 year where they're all on the same team and then hopefully build from there. But it's tough when you're in Iowa and there's only 10 to 15 Division I players. It's just they're at a disadvantage. And you, I mean, what K-State's done is they lucked into some JUCOs. It was a strategy, but they got 8 or 10 of those guys on the same team that were good, NFL-type guys, and then they've rolled from there. But I don't know. I mean, there's no magic answer of where Iowa State should be. But the point is they're not Indiana. I mean, I think the expectation should be higher than some of those traditional schools.
So what do you think of my 3 bowl games in 5 years?
I think that's fine. I think that's fair. I really do. And some won't like that.
No, I know. But I'm trying to be in between realist and you've got to stretch your legs, too. You can't. People are going to get so sick of this. You got to read Art Briles' book. No, I'm serious. Like, I'm not even trying to be. Like, a lot of times I do the Art Briles thing as a bit. It's kind of fun. Like, I'm being.
You are.
Serious.
I can see your face.
As a heart attack. Read his book, Beating Goliath. And, like, read about what they did. And now they have a lot of built-in advantages at Baylor being in, I'm not trying to make the Baylor-Iowa State comparison, but what the book did teach me, not even just about football, but my own life, is like there is that defeatist mentality where you start settling for things and that becomes contagious. That ruins a culture. Iowa State cannot afford to do that.
But what else they did, they had a transcendent talent that was the Pied Piper for them in RG3.
Yeah, and that's kind of what you're saying.
And
getting a little
once
lucky.
RG3 was what, a 3-star kid?
He was going to Houston with Art Briles. Going,
I mean, that you have to find a guy like that that just explodes and takes your program to another that you have. I mean, it needs to be. And I thought I should have had it with Seneca.
Yeah.
I mean, they were that close. They got up to top 10. And it's on a different level. That's what needs to happen, though. A couple guys that are NFL high-level great players that can take the program up a step. But I agree with you. The whole we are going to do the same thing and create a brand thing when it – I don't know if Iowa State football is a brand right now.
It's not a brand.
I'm sorry.
The whole, like – I think it early in the Rhodes era – the whole lunch pail and hard hat thing worked.
Yeah.
Because you were an underdog in all the. But now, like, the lunch pail hard hat doesn't work when you win 5 games in 2 years. It's a really cool thing when you're going 6-6 and everybody's picking you second to last in the league. When you're going 5-19, it's not cool.
You know, this will be an interesting year because, you know, everyone's saying the right things where the chemistry's better.
Tell you this.
The team works better.
My off the record dudes. Like, I've never heard optimism. I haven't heard optimism like this since year one.
Sure.
Of the road. Honestly, like, in the last couple of years, the rumblings weren't great. And these are guys who don't lie to me either.
No.
Like, they tell me, okay, no, I think
it's going to be a long year.
Yeah.
And we've heard that.
These are legit dudes. So I hope it's right.
Yeah. And if you can get back to that mentality that works, I mean, it works, honestly, it works at K-State. They're not flashy. They've done the same thing. So it's worked there. There's different methods to it. It's worked for Briles doing the eccentric thing at Baylor. TCU's gone more the Baylor method where they've done the uniforms. They've got craziness at their stadium and all sorts of jazz. For Iowa State, I don't know what it's going to take, but I think the fan support, that's not the question. And that gives Iowa State a leg up on a lot of things because you go around the Big 12 at the TCU-Iowa State game, nice, perfect day in December, was not a sellout last year.
And they're playing for a spot in the playoffs.
Yeah, and so it drives you nuts on the road sometimes because you're like, why can't Iowa State have nice things when they have this fan support? It just hasn't happened yet.
Final football point. And again, I don't like getting negative on July 28th. There are reasons to be optimistic right now, which we've laid out. Let's say in... Again, for one reason or another, at some point, Iowa State has to hire a head coach in 2 or 3 years. I don't need a guy. What type of a coach are you looking for at this point? If you're Jamie Paul.
I don't even know. Somebody. I don't know.
You don't like being put on the spot.
No, I don't even know where you go. I don't know where you look. I would say you get a guy that knows the program, but who is that?
Tony Alford.
Okay. Yeah.
Chris Ash.
Probably be on the list.
The guy who I always throw out there is Wells at Utah State.
Utah State.
He's an Oklahoma boy.
Yeah, I don't. It's so hard to hypothetically say, but yeah, I mean, yeah, I think 5 years from now, that I would, like we said before. I don't know.
Okay,
if
so
Paul
I just threw out some guys like that, Tom Herman.
Yeah, Tom.
Or do you go the Jerry Kill route with Minnesota?
No, I can't. No.
Because I'm not speaking – I wanted this to be more of a hypothetical what type of coach do you look for, not the who do you go and get, because in 3 years it's going to be different. Like, do you go Jerry Kill or do you go Tom Herman?
And it's interesting, Jamie's two hires, Chizik was a flashy guy with a name, the recruiting MO, and then Paul was a program guy. And you look at basketball, Greg McDermott – kind of a big name at the time.
It was a huge hire.
And then Fred was a known guy, and Prohm was an outsider. So at times
of those three hires, though, Fred was the riskiest.
Oh, by far. So I don't know. I mean, I thought for a while that there was that 4 or 5 year period when Hoiberg and Rhodes were at the helm, where it made sense that you got to get a local guy because they know what it takes in Ames, what it's like to live in Ames and to succeed in Ames. But the Prohm thing kind of threw me off because he went outside the box for that. I mean, if you go by that theory, it would have been TJ. But he goes with a guy who's never been to Ames. So maybe the thought process there of what it takes to win in Ames is different. I still think football is different than basketball, which we'll talk about now. But I think you got to look – you have to look energetic – younger,
that's the same
who can me. fire up a program
a lot like you're seeing a Tom Herman do at Houston. Like I don't know if you have I follow Houston a lot now because I like Tom a lot, but like if you follow like his Twitter and like that type of I love Paul Rhodes. I've said it and I don't deny it. I hope he succeeds at Iowa State and is a guy here a decade from now, and I don't have any shame in saying that. But it drives me nuts that he's not on Twitter. Like, I don't know why it bothers me so much. It doesn't even make me mad. It drives me crazy. I'm like, dude, I want to like shake him and be like, Paul, get on Twitter. Even if it's not you, the recruits don't know that type of stuff.
It just seems like there's ways that Iowa State can get quick wins and things like that, that they're not capitalizing on. And I don't know if it makes a difference, but
uniforms.
Try a little bit.
And another thing I always come back to is the Jock Jam thing and like the entrance music. But it's so much more than just music to me. Like it is all part of this big picture and how people view you. Don't be corny. Basketball. See, that comes off as really harsh, but, you get what I'm saying.
We're trying to think, what can take Iowa State to the next? What Paul's done is he's made how many bowl games? Three?
Yeah, well, he would have had four. If it weren't for the freaking two-point conversion against Nebraska, 4-4.
So what he's done has worked before.
Yes. That's why I believe he can turn it around.
And I'm with you. But if it happened, if like this year, where if they win four games this year and Paul's back for whatever the next year, to get a little unorthodox maybe and try something at that point. But I agree with you. We're just trying to think how can, since this is about expectations, if the expectations are higher than three bowl games in 5 years, if Iowa State wants to get to be a Baylor or K-State during the Snyder era, what can they do? And I think for them, they need to lean more Baylor than K-State as far as the eccentric and the excitability stuff.
Yeah, because K-State is so rare. Like, that's so hard to do what he's done. I don't think anybody else could do it anywhere if you tried to mimic what he's done.
And really, Ferentz tried to go that route in a way, but it's not. I just don't know with the
When I think of Ferentz,
kids these days is get off my lawn. But they do. They respond to the Baylor TCU stuff more than the Iowa case.
When I think of Ferentz's program too, I don't think of the same thing as Bill Snyder. When I think of Bill Snyder, I think JUCO, soft schedules, luck.
Right.
Right?
Sure.
And a lot of hard work in between. I'm a big admirer of Bill Snyder's.
But I'm thinking more of the lunch pail, methodical.
Yeah. When I think of Ferentz, I think of like development.
Mm-hmm. And that's K-State does a little
soft
bit.
Soft schedule.
Sure.
I mean, let's be real.
Yeah.
I think of development. That's why I think in continuity. I mean, Ferentz's staff never turned over early in the years. That's the type of stuff I think of with him. And like, I just don't see either one of those being realistic at Iowa State. I think you've got to go outside the box and do something that nobody's expecting you to do.
The problem is, if you go way outside the box, and then you end up like, who's tried about everything and nothing has worked? In Indiana, really. I keep bringing Indiana up, but...
You love Indiana.
Well, they've tried all the uniforms and everything, but nothing seems to work.
But they don't have the fan base.
They don't. But if you get way crazy, and then you lose everything, and then
I'm not even talking about style of play. I mean, yeah. Sure. And you know what? When Gene Sizek was hired, you know who the guy I was pounding down his door was? Paul Johnson. That was the guy I wanted at Iowa State when Chizik got hired. So I'm all for going triple. I don't give a damn. Just win games. That's all I really care about.
And I'm trying to think now, like Vandy, here's an example, a pro Baylor example. When they had James Franklin, who was a young, dynamic guy, they got players to respond to that energy and that exuberance. They tried a bunch of stuff and they started playing better. Where that was a dormant program for decades, but Franklin was able to revive them. He was a kind of a hip guy. I think he was on the Twitter and everything else.
That's what he's doing at Penn State. Yeah.
And now he's brought that to Penn State. It's interesting, but the different philosophy. I mean, there's two ways to attack anymore, but I don't – at Iowa State, I think Iowa State needs to lean more to the exuberance side if they want to take that next step.
Because wouldn't you – I think of Iowa State's fan base as young and energetic.
Yeah. Well, the majority, since the school has expanded so much, a lot of the alumni now are probably our age and
younger.
I mean, the fan base has grown young, I would say.
Yeah, I think so, too. And that's why you cater to that.
Mm-hmm.
You want to move on to basketball?
Yeah.
Expectations over the next 5 years of Iowa State basketball. I feel like I might piss some people off here.
Yeah, go ahead. Try it.
Well, I just, you know, you talk about the getting all these guys together at the same time and it all working and everything. Mm-hmm. I kind of feel like we've been there the last couple of years. Not to say you can't build on that. I'm not saying that at all.
This year included.
Yeah, no, absolutely. This upcoming year, too. Mm-hmm. But I think if we come into a point where after this year, your expectation is a Big 12 championship and a top 10 ranking, you're kidding yourself in 2016.
Mm. Yeah.
Now, I think Iowa State's expectation in basketball each and every year should be an NCAA tournament.
Agreed.
Absolutely. I mean, you got one of the best home court advantages, but I do think we've been on a uptick the last few years, and there's going to be a bit of a lull after this year, just based off of what the scholarship chart looks like.
And what is a lull, though? And I think that there's the
if you're
question.
In 16-17, if they are, not the 2 years, just the one.
Mm-hmm.
If they're on the bubble, that's a good year. That year. I think.
And, yeah. I mean,
does Monte Morris come back, though? Monte Morris comes, you know, I don't know. I'm assuming he doesn't. Maybe that's a huge assumption, too.
I think you right now, July...
Think he's back?
20, I think he's back.
Okay.
But...
So then that changes it. I don't... My whole deal is, I think the last couple of years, people are almost expecting Final Fours, right or wrong.
Right.
I don't think that should be the expectation every year for the next 5 years.
Totally. And that's not Steve Prohm's fault, because it was headed that direction with Fred, too.
I agree.
I mean, just break it.
They weren't getting Cheek Diallo. They weren't.
It wasn't happening.
It was Rashad Vaughn 2.0.
And the rest of the recruiting wasn't trending towards getting guys like that.
They were going.
I mean, they'd have to scramble. But the problem is, like they scrambled into guys like Royce and
Chris Babb
and all those dudes. But everybody else is on that game now.
Mm-hmm.
And so what worked for Iowa State when Fred first started won't work as well now, because everybody saves two scholarships for transfers because they know what's going to happen. And so when you've got your Dukes and all those other Gonzaga's trying to pick guys off too. I mean, Gonzaga's done like four or five of them now.
Mm-hmm.
It's harder for, because they're back at the same thing of, Iowa State doesn't get their pick of transfers even. I mean, they haven't had their pick of high school kids. Now, what has worked for them in the last 5 years of getting their pick of transfers, that's out the window too because all the other coaches are in that game. Point being, this year, it's a lot of pressure on this year. Really is. Because if they can have a monumental year and then somehow pick up recruiting after that, then I think they can be a top three Big 12 finisher year in and year out. But it's going to be tough after this year to think they can win the Big 12 every year and make Final Fours and that. Because the college basketball is so difficult. And, again, it comes down to getting players.
Do you think Steve Prohm will be Iowa State's coach in 5 years?
Ooh. Well, let me do my math here. This is interesting. This leads me to kind of an interesting point. After Johnny Orr left, 94, Floyd was here for 4 years. Larry was here for 5 years. Wayne was here for 3 years.
I thought two. Was he here for
four,
three?
Five. Yeah, three.
Okay.
Greg was here for 4 years.
Oh, yeah, he was three.
Fred was here for 5 years. So, odds in that time, that tenure, that's roughly four point some is the average tenure. So, just by percentages, 5 years would be over the percentage. It's impossible to say, but I think you could flip a coin, really, based on Iowa State's history.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Fred Hoiberg was the longest tenured Iowa State coach since Johnny Orr. And the second
That blew my mind.
And the second longest tenured since 73. Like, even in this, when coaches stayed for a while in the 70s and the 80s, they still weren't staying at Iowa State. So now, some of that's unfortunate.
If you put it that way, then he won't be here in 5 years.
I mean, just based on history, I mean, every case is different. And, you know, what skewed those is Maury John was going to be here for a while, and he passed away, unfortunately. In college basketball, it's, again, the now or get out mentality in college athletics. Or depending on how he does. I mean, I think 5 years is probably a realistic tenure, one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's going to have a good year this year, right? So,
see, this year makes me so nervous for Steve Prohm. Kind of know him a little bit. Really good guy. Appreciate him more than I did when he was hired. Mm-hmm. I questioned the hire pretty heavily at first.
I remember that.
But I said I'm not going to judge the guy because I don't know him. But I questioned it just because Murray, everybody wins at Murray. So I questioned it mainly because of that. But whatever, that's not the point of this. The reason I'm nervous for Steve is he could have a hell of a year.
Right.
And let's just say he gets second in the Big 12, loses in the Big 12 tournament championship game,
okay,
and is a three seed who loses in the Sweet 16. And there will be people critical saying, well, you know, Fred would have been here.
Sure.
That would have been the case for anybody they hired, and I would have been nervous for anybody that this year, for the reasons you laid out, where why it's such an important year, I'm not even excited about Iowa State basketball. I'm nervous for it because I'm just concerned about how we fanatics overreact to every single game.
Well, and it's like Sunday nights as a kid where you really couldn't enjoy Sunday night.
Yeah, I know.
Because you knew Monday was coming.
I know that feeling.
And, I mean, I'm getting a little bit of that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's college basketball. But if Iowa State's going to win something of significance, it's this year. And I mean, you're almost nervous now.
It's like you know that this is your chance.
And
not that they won't do it
no,
in the future.
No, and I think they could still make NCAA tournaments, but it's going to take them finding a way to get a big time talent year in, year out. And I think they've got some great recruiters on staff. I don't know how soon that would be. And then college basketball is such a nomads game where people are moving constantly. That's tough, especially at Iowa State, to find that continuity where you can get the same staff in place. And, you know, Steve Prohm's not an Iowa guy. If he has if he has 3 great years.
And an SEC team calls.
Or, you know, ACC. An ACC. It's a tough decision.
Yeah. Well.
And but the expectation for Iowa State, always make a tournament.
Absolutely.
I mean, think about the last 2 years. Iowa State is a top 10 national program.
Yeah.
So, that's pretty good. I mean, that's why I keep harping on all last year is enjoy this, please, because there was a decade where it was not enjoyable. And so if you can this year, you see the Monday approaching, but try and enjoy the weekend.
Well, I mean, I tell you what, though. I mean, he's not a program changer, but getting that SMU kid would be huge.
It would be. Oh, and they've got some really solid pieces. I mean, it's not going to go down to the levels of McDermott.
No.
No. It's just hard with as competitive as it is in the Big 12, and everyone's getting better. I mean, Texas is getting better. You've got Bill Self's not going anywhere. Oklahoma's got it rolling right now. It makes it difficult. Baylor's, hate to say it, but they're continually,
go ahead and give Scott Drew credit.
Continually right there. I just think
all Scott Drew does is exceed expectations.
Waller Prince is going to be a potential All-American next year. I saw him play the other day he made the Pan Am games.
Yeah.
He looks great. Which,
dude, that Pan Am.
He was coming on.
Did you read the Grantland piece on the Pan Am games basketball team?
Apparently, not been keeping up with.
I didn't realize some of the hacks that made that roster.
Yeah.
Like, it was unbelievable to me. What, Ray Lankford? Remember him?
That's the old Cardinals.
No,
that's
Keith,
the old Cardinals.
Keith, what was his name?
Keith Lankford.
Yeah, Keith Lankford. I'm sorry. We're watching the Cardinals here as we. Ray Lankford.
Ray Lankford made the team. Bernard Gilkey did too.
Keith Lankford.
Yeah, Keith.
Excuse me. Well, like, there it was like a blast from the past.
They had some European dudes because those guys are proven, so they wanted some experience.
Who's like the one kid? Dominique Wilkinson?
Yeah, no, he's played for the Energy last year. Damian Wilkinson.
Did he really?
Yeah. He made the team. So did Bobby Brown, not the singer, but the old guard from Pepperdine.
Tragic week for the singer.
But no, I think Ray expectations Langford. For Iowa State basketball should always be high because that's the it program. But again, it's cyclical. It is.
Well, and it comes back to the Pollard conversation that I told earlier. Like, if you're making NCAA tournaments every year, one big recruit, and bam, the next year you can go to a Final Four.
Iowa State's made 4 straight.
Yes.
For the first time in history. It'll make it 5, which will be 5 years in the NCAA tournament. Think of what we would have done for that in 2008.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, where has Iowa State gone 5 years? If you look at where is Iowa State going to be in 5 years, where have they gone from 5 years previous? That's pretty remarkable. I mean, this is probably the best 4-year run for sure in program history.
No, it is.
So
statistically, yeah.
If you look at the cycles, though, of history, it's tough for Iowa State to constantly, and as competitive as the Big 12 is, to stay on top of that perch. And so I think they're due after this year to, you know, drop a little bit, but they get back up there.
No, absolutely. We're not like, I'm not
it's
predicting.
It's not the death knell of the program.
I'm not predicting doomsday here. I just think that the last few years have been those peak years that I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Women's basketball. I mean, we don't need to go too in-depth on this. I want to wrap this thing up pretty quickly. But you know way more about this than I do. I do know from talking to Bill and his staff, they feel like the last few years they've recruited as well as they have since they've been here.
Yeah, they have. But it's amazing. I think they're one of 13 schools that have made every tournament since 2007. So consistency is pretty crazy for what the Fenleys have done. Mm-hmm. And they always do it, and it gets overlooked, but it's amazing.
That's
and
a
they,
fatigue they, conversation. He underappreciated because you stayed at the place
for
so long.
He is. I think, but everybody loves Bill Fenley, but I don't think they realize because they're used to it what he does year in and year out. And the fan support is amazing. And the fans should be thanked up and down for early every sport. Let me say this. I've thought about this recently. If Iowa State has average fans. They are a lower tier and everything. It's the fans that make the difference. It really is.
Well, for recruiting, when
for all the stuff.
Yeah.
Because
you don't have the new facilities.
It's just what separates Iowa State from a lot of other institutions, and I'll say even in the Big 12 especially, it's the fans. I mean, I think Iowa State's fans are probably the best across the board in the Big 12.
Compare them to like Oklahoma basketball last year.
Yeah, right.
They're a top 15 team, and they're not filling up their arena.
So when you have support, you will always have a fighting chance because that means that people care. You will never just fall back into irrelevancy. It's just with location and everything else against Iowa State, it's the fans, though, and the constant support and the we're going to be there in the middle of November if it's cold, even if you've won three games. That will keep Iowa State on the map. And I think even in the realignment discussion as well. But again, that's an aside. But as far as women's basketball, I think they're trending upward. In women's basketball, it's always tough with the Titans, you know, with the UConns and the Baylors and the those groups that are always a step above the Stanfords, and they can take advantage in recruiting because there's only so many good upper tier women's basketball players, but they're a tournament team year in and year out, and that's pretty good. I think one of these years, I think they'll even make another Elite Eight run. I mean, they made two of them under
Finley. I dream of a Finley Final Four.
Oh, that'd be great.
Just dream of it. I'm so excited when I had a girl because I can't wait to. No, I really. This is like a dream of mine. I can't wait till Cameron's a little. And Bill better not ever retire, damn.
They have.
I can't wait to take her to all the games. It's going to be so much fun.
Their incoming recruiting class is really good.
The Canadian girl, I heard.
Canadian's good. And then they got the Roosevelt kids. Going to be nice. Meredith Burkhall is her name.
Yeah.
Pulse player.
Meredith, yeah.
Going to be a good player.
This was fun. This was more fun than some of the like Kick to the Stones podcasts.
Yeah, and you know, you can if you listen back, you're like, man, I don't have a lot of high expectations for the upcoming 5 years. But it's the whole thing of Iowa State. If you don't expect it, then it makes it even better. You know, and I don't think Iowa State should ever, and this you should ever think national championship or bust in anything.
No.
Because that's not why you become an Iowa State fan. If Iowa State wins the national championship, hell yes, that party's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
But to be an Alabama football fan, to be a Kentucky basketball fan, that's not Iowa State.
Very well put. It's a great way to end this Buffalo Wild Wings Summer Series podcast. Thanks to Buffalo Wild Wings in Ankeny and Ames. We'll be back with another Summer Series podcast here in a week or two. Thanks for listening, everybody.